great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we are proud to welcome an American guitar pedal designer and musician, Jamie Stillman from Earthquaker Devices. We'll also tell you how you can sign up and win an Arbanoid pedal autographed by Jamie. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by our good friends at Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio, and at Guitar Hummer at guitarhummer.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flow to the Izzo Floro and Scott Barry White Sill, because I'm sick.
Good evening. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. I hope everybody's in better health. We both got nailed at the first of the year, and we're in bed.
He's referring to the flu. Thank you. I have a wife.
But we're on the mend, and we are here. Scott, besides staying in bed and meditating, how did your you were gone for a couple of weeks.
So. Yeah, I went back to good old Illinois and experienced some of the cold weather that's going on back there that our guest is experiencing right now.
Did you really freeze to death, or were you basically still used to it?
Well, I actually, when we got there, we arrived, it was like 60 degrees, so it was like awesome. I was like, this is great. This is not like Illinois. And then the next day, it was literally like 0 degrees. So it's not normal. I don't know what's going on back there. But yeah, it was not fun, but you know, everyone got to see the new baby and all that stuff, and they had fun, and it was a good time. What have you been up to?
Well, holding the fort while you were gone, we had two great shows, and I want to thank everybody who was there, and especially Monique for helping me get those guests. Last week was really interesting with Lance. I posted pictures up there. There was just hordes of guitars in here. And the week before, we had a sitar and some bizarre instruments. It was pretty interesting. So we had fun. It was a good Christmas.
Well, great. Well, for those of you that are listening live, if you want to ask our guests any questions, you can call in 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, and we will try to take that if we have time. Or you can join us on our live chat on our website at flowguitarenthusiast.com and harass us there if you would like. So, and with that, also, I should mention, we have a couple cool shows coming up. We have Mitch Gallagher, who's actually from Sweetwater, but he's also...
He does a whole bunch of other stuff,
but you see him on their YouTube channel quite a bit, and he'll be in studio after NAMM, so we'll do a NAMM wrap-up talking about all the stuff we saw there. Mm-hmm. And then for the next two shows, I think there'll be kind of some NAMM previews. I'm hoping that we'll have a whole bunch of companies next week to talk about what's going on with NAMM. And then tentatively scheduled, we have Taylor Guitars for February 20th, but I'll have yet to confirm that.
Okay.
All right, well, with that, let's bring in Jamie Stillman from Earthquaker Devices. Jamie,
hello.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. How cold is it back there in Ohio?
Oh, it is so cold. It's ridiculous. I think it's like -40 with the wind chill.
So out of curiosity, have you tried like taking out any of your pedals out in the cold and see if the cold does anything fun to the sound?
No, but I should. Yeah, maybe we can start like a relic line or something.
There you go. Oh, man, there you go. You could have like that's a good idea.
Well, you could make a special version of the Sea Machine as the Ice Machine and just make it white instead of blue.
Yeah, right. I have to admit, though, that I have thrown boiling water into the air. couldn't resist it.
Yeah, well crazy. Well, before we get started, tell us how you got into making pedals, and how did you even get there? Because before you were a touring musician and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of by accident. I toured a lot. I was like, I didn't have a lot of money, but I really liked collecting gear. I kind of fell in love with this really junky DOD 250 overdrive. It was nothing special. And one day I broke one of the pots and I opened it up and I was like, there are seven things inside here. It can't be that hard to fix it. So I went around and I searched for a schematic and I found it and it was, you know, it was pretty easy to understand, pretty easy to repair. I got like the pot at Radio Shack or something like that. But in the process of looking for that schematic, I found like a couple websites that were, you know, just DIY pedal building websites, and it was super interesting to me. So I kind of kept going back over and over again and just trying to learn what I could during any amount of free time I had. It kind of just took off from there. It became an obsession after a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting to hear you say that, because that's actually, you know, a very similar story to how, you know, one of the people we had on, Brian Wampler, same thing. He was just kind of got into do-it-yourself fixing and modding, and and then all of a sudden just turned it into a, you know, crazy, awesome business.
Yeah, I kind of imagine that that's the way a lot of us, a lot of, like, quote-unquote, boutique pedal companies started. Very rarely are, like, you know, people who went to school for electrical engineering decide to start a pedal company. It always turns into some obsession into accidentally turning into a job.
So when did it become just you, and then when did it start to actually become you had to go and hire people and create a real business besides yourself out of a garage?
I can't remember the exact year when I really started tinkering around with stuff. I'm going to say like 2003-ish, 4-ish. And I would say I probably built my first pedals that I sold somewhere around 2000, like the end of 2004, 2005. And it was just like a couple fuzz pedals that I sold to some friends, fuzz spaces. And then I, you know, put a couple up on eBay or whatever. And wasn't very serious about it at all. Somewhere around that time, I also found the forums, like Harmony Central, when it was super active. And I think I sold a few on there, and that's where things really started to spread. Word of mouth was on that forum. And I think Earthquaker became Earthquaker officially in 2008, but became really a full-time job probably around 2007.
Where did the name Earthquaker come from, out of curiosity?
I had some friends who were in a band called the Minus Tide from West Virginia, and I believe they had, it was like a fake heavy metal band that they had called Earthquaker, and they would just yell it out all the time. And for some reason, that name stuck. And I think it's cool. I like the name, but I'm not so sure, like, had I known that this is where it would be, if I would have so been so haphazard about naming the company.
Well, hey, you know, I mean,
but I do think it's fitting and it's cool. I like it, and I like the backstory.
Well, plus the fact, you know, the Midwest, which people don't know, does actually have a pretty good fault line down the middle of it. So,
right, yeah.
You could become, you know, a good little earthquake place, but
right.
Well, I think what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a quick commercial here on about Guitar Hummer. We'll come back, and then I think Jeff's going to come in, and he's going to play a few of your pedals, and then we'll start kind of demoing them, and then, you know, have more questions for you.
Okay.
Cool. There's a product out called Guitar Hummer that's designed to give you vintage sound without the vintage weight. We all know the more a guitar is played, the better the sound. Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that simulates play by sending gentle vibrations through your guitar as it sits. Swap your guitar stand for Guitar Hummer, and in just a few weeks, you will notice deeper, richer tone and improved sustain. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to guitarhummer.com for more information or to purchase.
Hi, I'm Richard Kotzer from the Winery Dogs, and you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
So Jeff, tell us what are you playing? Not start out well. What are you playing? As in your guitar and amp first.
This is the I have my Strat here, and I'm playing through my little Vibrochamp, which I used last week. It's a Fender neutral type of sound, a very common sound. Here's the guitar dry. This is actually the guitar right into the amp. middle pickup, that was the bass pickup. And treble pickup, so you can hear it.
So Jamie, you know, one of the things he was playing there was your Ghost Echo. So what were you trying to do with that? Were you trying to emulate a kind of like a Fender reverb unit and then take it beyond that? What were you doing with that particular pedal?
Yeah, something like that. I had a friend of mine had loaned me what I believe was actually a Fender reverb unit, or it may have been a clone of one. I'm a little bit foggy on it. And I really liked it a lot. And I was just looking for like an easier way to kind of emulate that. And that's how I came upon the Ghost Echo. And I think the only change I really kind of made in matching the sound was I added a little bit of pre-delay to it, which wasn't on the original one. But yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I was aiming for.
So let's listen to that, Jeff, and play, and then I'll kind of mess around with the depth and dwell a little bit. You on the spot, Jeff, can you do any surfer music? It's a very nice pedal. Now, actually, that brings me up one of the things I should mention. For those of you listening, we're courtesy of the good folks over at Earthquaker Devices and Jamie. We are giving away an Arpanoid. Am I saying that correct, or am I totally butchering that?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. I was a little worried about that. I had a few issues on some words. I think, what was the word that I totally hosed? Oh, crap. Oh, leopard. It was leopard, by the way. Anyways.
That's a great one.
Yeah, but it sounds much fancier when you say leopard. But anyhow, so Arpanoid, we're giving away an autographed one by Jamie because he's the one that designed the pedal. So very cool, and the whole show's about kind of gear and stuff, so it's cool to have him sign that. And if you want to sign up for that, you can visit our website, flowguitarenthusiast.com, and there's a link there to put a comment in there and make sure you put your correct email address.
It makes you sound really agile without doing a lot.
Yeah, actually what you're hearing right now is the Arpanoid.
No, I'm using my whammy bar on this to get it to do weird stuff, but it's cool.
So it's got 8 different modes on that, right?
I want to
remember. Yeah. Let's see here if I'm trying to pull up my sheet here that has it. Let's see here. So if we go to number 5, it's a minor. So would you want to play minor chords for that, or is it do a minor scale?
It's just a minor scale.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear that. So on this pedal too, for those of you that want to win it, or even better, purchase it from Earthquaker Devices, or where you guys can purchase these from, where Musician's Friend, a whole bunch of places, correct?
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
So, but if you want to purchase it, it's got a toggle switch on it too, where you can do push down; it'll go just only down. If you put it in the middle, right now, I'll put it in the middle; it'll do up and down randomly. And if I flip that, it'll go into just up, doing the minor scales. Now, the one thing that's really cool about this pedal that I was digging was you can actually mix where you only hear the wet signal and you don't hear any of the dry, so let's do that. Thank you. what does the step button do? What on that pedal?
It controls how many steps the scale has. So it goes from 1 all the way up to 8 or 15.
Oh, okay. So the farther you put it right, then it'll go higher or more in the scale then. Okay. All right, let's try one more to see here.
So as you turn it clockwise, it brings more notes in.
Yeah. So this is the position 1 where it does a major octave to root.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions that, you know, that we like to ask folks, you know, because, you know, a lot of the pedals you guys are creating, you know, one of the issues, whether it's pedals, amps, or anybody, right, is the availability of the boards and the actual pots and everything. What, you know, do you have those issues, or have you come up with a unique way to kind of avoid, you know, not being at the mercy of, you know, some Russian vendor out in?
Well, our method is probably the same as a lot of other people's methods, which is to buy a lot of it. So, like, you know, germanium transistors, we use a lot of them. We have tens of thousands of them, and I bought them years ago when I found them. And, you know, I've run out before, and it's been a nightmare. Like, the sweet, you know, we use 2 in every hoof, and the hoof is a pretty popular pedal for us. And there's so much failure in germanium transistors that, you know, we throw away maybe 30 to 40% of them. And then when I finally found a good batch, that there is very few failures in.
So you test them beforehand, and then if they don't
pass, we test them all beforehand. And, you know, when we found some good ones, I just bought all of them. So that's been our method for that, basically. It's just to purchase a lot.
Wow.
But I think, like, the Arkanoid or the Dispatch Master, it's, you know, code written, you know, especially for us.
So on that one, so if that one's code written, I mean, was that a whole new skill you had to learn? I mean, if that's a circuit board that
on a lot of our digital pedals, I'm kind of the idea guy, and then we have an outside source we work with for programming.
Ah, yeah, that's good because you can be creative instead of having to do.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just as challenging, if not more so. Trying to explain your idea and have it, you know, come out exactly how you envisioned is pretty tough. But I like that challenge. I mean, everything that we do from boost pedals all the way up to, like, the Arpanoid has been a challenge in some form or another.
So how long would, like, let's say, you know, well, let me ask you this. When you came up with the concept of the Arpanoid, like, what was your, I don't know, what was the problem you were trying to solve, or what were you think was missing in the market? What made you decide to create something like this?
I don't even know if it's something that I even thought was missing in the market. I kind of go back and forth on paying attention to what's happening and what's, you know, and just being a reckless, I guess. But for me, it was just a sound I wanted to hear. Just, I really like, you know, vintage analog synthesizers, and, like, one of the things I like so much is just the sound of holding a single key and hearing it arpeggiate. And I kind of wanted to do the same thing for a guitar, but just have it be scales, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sort of a need, a want for me. And then it became, like, how do we actually do that? Like, how can we do this thing? And even for our programmer, it was a challenge to get it to work, like, in the small format that we needed it to be in, and using, you know, the technology we had available to us. That became sort of the drive after a while, too. And then the end result is pretty much exactly what I envisioned. So I was really happy with that. That's one of the pedals I'm the most proud of.
So out of curiosity, also, how long did it take you from, you know, concept to, you know, production?
A little over a year, and a lot of it was just kind of, you know, stumbling back and forth on how to get it to cycle correctly. And once that obstacle was overcome, it came together really quickly.
It's cool. It's a cool little pedal. I mean, it's just kind of, it's just fun. It's like you can't, yeah, like, you just, you know, you sit down with it for like, you know, a couple hours and you feel like you've only touched, you know, 5% of what it does.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with it. Like, once you start playing with it, you want to keep messing with it. And I know, like, everybody's first thought is, that's cool. How would I use that? But,
well,
you know,
I mean, that's
there's a time and a place for everything, I think.
Well, that's the whole point for someone to come up with something pretty creative with it, right? So,
right, yeah.
You never know. We'll probably hear it in the beginning of some song or something, and it'll be like, how the heck did that guy do that? So,
yeah, it's recognizable.
So, well, one of the things I want to, you know, that I think, you know, Jeff was really digging, and, you know, it's definitely one of the coolest pedals, I mean, you've got, that we really like, is the Hoof Reaper with the octave in it. I mean, the Hoof, I think, isn't that kind of like your main, that's like your kind of signature pedal, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty much our longest running pedal.
We've seen a few of these where they start combining a couple fuzzes or distortions in them. And you know, one of the things that people will talk about is, you know, you sometimes can have problems with the pedals interacting with each other and causing mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. Did you have that here, and did you have to make any modifications? Because, I mean, obviously you can buy the Hoof by itself, you can buy the Reaper by itself, you can't get the Octave, but are they kind of different? I mean, did you have to modify them so they didn't interact or affect each other?
No, they're actually stock. They're exactly the same as the individual pedals. Even the circuit board layout is almost identical on both sides. But we did go back and forth. We tried a lot of our dirt pedals, a lot of different combinations of everything. And those two work the best in a very specific order. A lot of people have asked, oh, can we, you know, have a mod where we can put the Reaper before the Hoof or the Hoof before the Reaper? You can choose that, or, you know, where the octave goes. And it, to me anyway, it doesn't sound good anyway other than how it's set up. Exactly,
right,
in that pedal.
Which one is first, the Hoof or the
Reaper? I would assume the way they are in the pedal, Hoof, octave, or Hoof, Reaper, right? Is the octave in the middle?
No, it's actually the octave and then the Tone Reaper and then the Hoof.
Oh,
that's how it's routed inside the pedal.
Well, there you go. I was
Here's the the Hoof. The trick is the what I found was how you blend these. So I'm going to put them. Here's the Reaper by itself. Now I have them set a certain way so for the blend, so they're not fully cranked. But so the Reaper to me is a lot more.
You want to play, and then I'll add the Hoof in.
Yeah. So this setting, and I'll have Scott adjust the level of the Hoof in a minute, but I did this so to get a lot of harmonic content, so I can get squeal out of the guitar. Now he's going to put in the octave. Taking that out now, just pull this while I'm playing. Bring up the
level.
You can see how it changes. So he's bringing up the Hoof. The Reaper gives me that edge.
Sorry.
He gives me that edge, but the other one gives me the meat to it.
That's just the Hoof there. And then back with the Reaper.
So the Reaper's given me all the harmonic content, and the hoof is just giving you kind of a oomph on the back on the, but blended together. And the way I have it set, the hoof actually enhances. If you have them all like full gain, like I've had before when I tried chaining a bunch of fuzz tones together, they can cancel. So you got to play with that blend, and you get a pretty nice tone, and it gives you a lot of variation.
So on that one, are any of those the fuzzes, are they kind of based off any vintage pedals or?
Yeah, those are two. We have a couple pedals based on old circuits, and the hoof is based on a friend of mine's Green Russian Big Muff. To some extent, technically speaking, but sound-wise, it's morphed over the years to be a little bit more articulate and cleaner than, you know, what you would traditionally expect from one of those. And then the Tone Reaper is based on the three-knob tone bender, but it's pretty different. It's a lot more, so it has a higher gain, almost more distortion sound to it, and the EQ is modded pretty heavily.
Now
more low end or more biting treble.
Now, are all your pedals true bypass? Or
yes, not? All of them are.
I would think so, because usually that's the way they are when they're not made, you know, when they're made by hand. So, now, these are all made by hand in Akron, Ohio, right?
Yeah, every one of them.
So just the ones that are made over the next week will be made with gloves, so they might have a little
extra, yeah, right.
Might have a little extra fabric inside of there. It's insanely cold back there. What are you saying? You were saying before that it was going to be, what, minus 40?
Yeah.
Is that the real temperature, or is that the
wind? With wind chill, it's minus 40.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, I'm going to use he gave us a separate hoof to try out. So I have the hoof by itself, and this one has a higher gain setting. So I'm going to use this with my neck pickup, and you can hear the, it has a pretty nice sound and a little bit of a distinctive tone to it. Go to the middle pickup. Then I'll try the treble pickup. Bring the fuzz level up. I've been playing single note, but these crunch really good.
We should also mention that actually, I think we've been keeping it on the whole entire time, the Ghost Echo. So if you're hearing reverb, that's all from the Ghost Echo.
Yeah, that is.
So let's take a quick break here. We'll have a couple quick spots and actually I just happened to read my email, so I will be nice and I will throw out a shout out to Manchild, who's listening to the show right now. So hopefully,
hey Manchild,
you hear it. But anyways, let's go to Greg's.
Do you want to get the best possible tone from your acoustic instrument? Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that does more than just rest your guitar. It creates a gentle but continuous vibration that is equivalent to playing your instrument all day, every day. This concentrates years of seasoning into mere weeks, improving tone and sustain. You may not be able to afford a vintage guitar, but you now can achieve vintage sound. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to guitarhummer.com for more information or to purchase.
Well, guys, as we were talking about, it is extremely cold out there, and we would normally have a spot from our good friends at Sweetwater. However, they're actually closed because of the weather. So I thought I would just bring up a few things that's going on in their facility. They have a January clearance up to 83% off where you can save. They also have up to 24 months of financing for things like Gibson guitars, Fender, over 100 top brands, as they say on their website. And I happen to know that they're closed today because I was actually going to call them up. I did call them up, and I was going to purchase I'm going to get the new Zoom H6 so I can record over 6 channels live, you know, anywhere, mobile. So I'll be purchasing that from them and using my sales representative, Delvin. So hopefully they are not frozen, and hopefully everything is fine over there. But it seems like it is quite cold over there in the East Coast and Midwest. So with that, Jeff, what are you playing? You're playing the Sea Machine and the Ghost Echo, so, right?
Yes. I like this. It's a nice, rich chorus. I'm using my out of phase setting.
So if you want to get in on any of those deals going on at Sweetwater, go to sweetwater.com and visit them. And, you know, if you want a good sales representative, the guy I use is Delvin. I like him. Tell him I sent you.
And you can even get the arpeggiator.
So, actually, Jeff, you were doing something with the Sea Machine and the Hoof, right, where you had both of those going right earlier?
Try them together.
The chorus is nice. It's actually, it sounds, if you could do some Eric Johnson licks, that sounds like Eric Johnson to me. You gotta go to like a neck pickup though or something. Jamie, tell us about this pedal. The thing I like about this is there's just ridiculous amount of options you can do with this, which is not normal to most choruses.
Right.
Actually, most of his pedals, there is a lot of room for adjustment. There's knobs all over the place on them. We'll be posting pictures of what we're using right now. But the Sea Machine, which I'm using right now, has 6 controls. And
yeah.
The Hoof had 4. The Hoof Reaper has 4 and 3. So there's 7 controls. So there's a lot of variability. You can really tweak it.
So what were you doing with the Sea Machine that's different than some of other choruses out there?
Well, I think the Sea Machine is a good example of like how I usually treat a lot of our modulation pedals, which is the bass line is a very usable, like, musical tone, I guess. But then you can break it down with all those controls into complete chaos and bring it back without ever having it go completely overboard, unusable.
The other thing to mention to folks listening is on that particular pedal, you can do 9 or 12 volts, correct?
Yeah.
And I'm only running 9, but...
Right, and I prefer it at 9, honestly. 12 is like a little bit more of a subtle difference, but it kind of extends the delay time a little bit, which makes it's a little bit more animated, I guess, is how I would describe it. With that pedal in particular, it's like chorus is one of those effects that seems to ride the line on whether people love it or hate it.
yeah,
or whether it's tasteful or not. And I found myself using it like here and there, just chorus in general. And I just wanted one that was like a lot more tweakable, but you know, still recognizable as chorus. And that's basically Seed Machine as a result of that. About a year in the making.
Yeah,
and every time I play that pedal, I find something different. And every time someone shows me some setting, it's something that I've never really tried. So there's, you know, you move each knob, you know, a certain way, and there's a new sound that pops out. So
yeah, I mean, I was really excited to check out this pedal because the first couple times I've seen you guys, I saw you at the, I think you were at the Pedal Expo here in LA, and then you guys were at the Amp Show, I think, right in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did both.
And to your guys' credit, and unfortunate for me, you guys are always like crazy busy, and I can never get in there and play what I want to play. And this is the one I always want to check out because I've been trying to find a chorus that I like, and so I'm happy to see it sitting here and actually get to hear it. And I dig it because this is I mean, Jeff, if it's kind of playing testify music here. I mean, I feel like this could go right into church here, but. But I mean, this is like the perfect use for it. I mean, it's like, I mean, for me, the chorus, I love it. I mean, it just adds a nice little, but let's see if we can make it go crazy. I'm going to start pulling some knobs and see what we can do.
Testify.
And then, like you said, back to normal, and you know, just, you can go just pretty nuts.
Can get a like a Leslie sound out of it. Now I'm really testing them. As close as I can get, I'm not. I'm sure you've got something you can just flip it into, but. Hang on. I there's so many knobs, I'm trying to figure out what each one's doing.
Here, why don't you turn his off? I actually have a couple quick questions while he's... So, let me ask you this question, because this was... I saw this brought up, I think, on your YouTube channel, or one of the person's YouTube channels that has a few demos of your guys' pedals. So, with this one and, like, your Hummingbird, which are kind of, you know, sometimes have an external pedal control, have you guys ever thought about releasing one that has that ability? I'm totally slipping.
Like expression
pedal. Thank you.
Expression control.
Yes.
I think we've been asked a couple times before, but it doesn't really cross my mind to do that. A lot of people who work at Earthquaker ask me all the time, you should put expression control here. And I'm one of those people that, like, I have to do it myself. a lot to really understand the need for it. I do see it with that pedal. Like, I see there's so many things to tweak. I would wonder where to start with the expression control. And sometimes I just feel like things are left as is.
Have you simplified
the use, I guess.
But. Have you thought about creating, because there's the one pedal that's kind of missing in the market is a Univibe, because, you know, the folks like Dunlop that makes that stopped making it. Then they produced that Hendrix one, which actually, the Hendrix one actually sounded better than the one that you, where you could put an expression pedal on it.
But. Yeah, I had that Hendrix one, the little purple pedal.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, that thing was amazing. It sounds so good.
So let me ask, have you thought about doing a Univibe?
We actually do make a Univibe-inspired pedal.
Oh, do you? I missed that.
Called the Dex.
Oh, crap, we have that one. Never mind.
Yeah, and that's kind of the basis to that is my Univibe, which I love the sound of. And the depth can get there. It's a pretty specific setting that will match, you know, my particular Univibe.
Now that's one of the ones
again,
that does 9 volts.
Go all over the place from there.
That one does 9 volts and 18 volts. Do you recommend doing 18 or 9 on that?
On the
depth. Yeah, because right now that's what he's got going on. Now.
I prefer it at 9.
At
myself.
9. All right. Let's see here if we can do this over the phone. Can you tell me what the settings are that get the Univibe sound that you like?
Yeah, I gotta actually just remember it off the top of my head. I pretty much go with the voice right around 3 o'clock. The intensity set around 11.
Okay.
Put the throb right around, or right between 2 and 3.
All right.
And then you can adjust the rate to taste and the level to taste, and that's the setting that I've been using lately. I explain a similar setting in the manual too.
So there's clean. Yeah, I like it. I mean, that's nice. It's real. It's subtle, but it's I like it. I mean, it's really nice.
And then if you bring up the intensity, it. Lively.
Now that's going a little crazy. I'm turning all the way up. See you.
Yeah.
A chord. I just want to hear the yeah. So I have the intensity like turned all the way up, but I'm turning the rate down so just so you can hear just a slight, almost kind of a small little warble that I guess you could use while you're doing like a solo and stuff, kind of almost kind of like Pink Floyd sort of thing. I think they use a phaser, but this is kind of gives that same thing. That's nice. All right, you got to give us some bunch of ninth chords and just go up the thing, you know, give us a little Hendrix there. That's a diminished. It's not right. Now, the Depths, that's a recent pedal, right? You guys just came out with that one?
Yeah. We came out in September.
Oh, I got to ask, what's the... So we got the story behind an Earthquaker. What's the story behind the Octopus?
It was kind of a graphic that I had actually hung on to you for a while. Can't quite remember where I found it, but it is some found art that I had laying around. My background is in graphic design, so I always collect little pieces of clip art here and there. And then over the years, I've kind of slowly redrawn it, and other people, you know, have had their take on it and stuff. So it's slowly morphed into our own thing.
I like it. I mean,
and it's just a little thing I thought was cool.
Hey, why not, right? You know?
Right.
Let's see here. What do we got left? Oh, we haven't done the Disaster Transport yet. Or actually, we have been. We've been having that going.
I just switched it on.
Oh, sorry. So this is... this is just the delay. So the Disaster Transport, there's three different versions, right? There's like a junior, the one we have here, which is the Disaster Transport, and there's like a supermodel, right?
Yeah, the Disaster Transport Senior.
Ah, that makes sense. Does the senior one, does it, the delay on this, I think, goes to like 650 milliseconds, is that right?
Yeah, right around there.
Does the senior go beyond that, or?
The senior is actually, it's kind of the junior is basically the Disaster Transport without the modulation. The senior, both delay circuits, one is about 650 milliseconds with modulation, the other one's 300 milliseconds with reverb, and both of those delay circuits were designed specifically for that pedal. They're not exactly the same as the other Disaster Transport.
Ah.
Similar idea, but basically retooled to work better together in that format.
So right now, I think Jeff's got the time fully cranked, so he must be having the full 650 milliseconds. Let's do a kind of a slap back. I'll turn it down. And it gives country. There you go. Now, one thing I love about these, because this is all analog, correct? Delay?
It's actually a digital delay with an analog dry signal.
Oh, really? Because it does the cool little thing when you change the rate, it does a woo.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's analog. Which, I mean, that is, to some extent, what I was aiming for. The sound is loosely modeled on my Space Echo.
Now, what does the tone do on this one? What is that? The knob?
It cuts the highs as you roll it back.
Ah.
So all the way up is flat?
All the way up, there's a little bit of treble boost to it. But...
okay, so this is all the way up. I'll put it in noon. And then roll it back a little more. Oh, yeah.
And it's just on the repeats.
Yeah. Now it's back all the way up. Noon. And then down. That's nice.
Much more stabler than, much more stable than an Echoplex. Because the Echoplex used to roll off the highs a lot.
Right.
Now, on the senior, does that one allow you, the one thing I think Jeff would really love to see, does the senior have where you can just only have the delay signal, so you don't have any of the dry?
No, we don't have any full wet delay pedals, which it's kind of weird. It's sort of my preference. I always like to have the drive signal in there, and then like little by little, I've had enough people ask me, "Oh, you can't, you know, can you do full what?"
The reason that
for me to actually realize that that's like a thing that people really want.
Well, when I used to use the Echoplex, what I would do is I used two amps and I ran the parallel out. I was using Fenders, so you had parallel inputs, and I'd run one and run the Echoplex into a separate amp. And then I could control the echo, but also, too, when you were playing distorted and you were playing fast, it was much cleaner. Mm-hmm. It didn't get mushy.
Yeah, it kind of took me a while to understand what like my thought process at first was, like, why would you want to not hear the original signal? And then I was like, oh, people use this for stereo setups and reamping and stuff like that.
Well, you'd be a lot of pedal effects.
Again, it's like I always design from my point of view.
Uh-huh.
And then little by little, you find out, oh, okay, now I see why people do this.
Well, it's not uncommon. I mean, I've seen other pedals and they don't isolate. There's only a few that actually do that. But that's the reason why we would work that way.
So, Jamie, we're coming to the end of the show. You guys are going to be at NAMM, I assume, right?
Yeah, we'll be at NAMM.
Do you happen to know your booth number for any of the folks that will be there?
Off the top of my head.
Sorry, I should have prepared you on that one. But, you know, if you can't, then you can download the app and you can look up Earthquaker devices because there's a NAMM app, which is actually pretty cool. And then what I know you guys participate in a lot of shows and expos. What besides NAMM, what do you guys got coming up? People can see you and try these pedals out.
At the moment, NAMM is the only thing we have scheduled.
Are you coming to the Pedal Expo is it March, I think? The one here in L.A.?
Yes, we'll be at that Pedal Expo, and then we're going to be doing a couple in-stores at different guitar centers, which you can find on our site once they're announced.
Ah, that's cool. Let's see here. And then, is there anything you'll be introducing at NAMM that you haven't got released yet? Or is the Arpanoid the big... I think there was one other one you had come out to.
Yeah, we have a couple new pedals that we'll be debuting at NAMM. One is a fuzz pedal, a real nasty fuzz pedal based on my Jex fuzz, which is like a different branding of the Shimei Companion. And the other is a polyphonic harmonizer with analog distortion.
Oh, cool.
Be interesting.
We'll definitely, Jeff and I will definitely have to stop by. We'll have to actually work out of time, so make sure that we can see you there when we're at NAMM.
Yeah, please do.
And then actually you're here in the background hearing the Arpanoid, which, again, for...
Well, you're actually hearing the Arpanoid, the Transport, and the Ghost Echo.
Oh, so we're just going for all kinds of craziness. If you want to win that Arpanoid, which is better than the ones that you can buy at the store because it's autographed by Jamie, but the ones at the store are just as good, just not autographed by him. That we'll be giving away that next week at the beginning of the show. We'll be announcing the winner, randomly chosen. So those of you that download the show and then listen to it live, you still have a chance to sign up. Go to flowguitarenthusiast.com. You want to learn more about Earthquaker devices? Where do they go, Jamie?
Earthquakerdevices.com.
Easy enough. So they'll be at NAMM. They'll be at the LA Pedal Expo, I think, coming up here in March. And I'm sure
our NAMM booth is 2884.
2884. There you go. And as long as they're not frozen, they will be there.
Right. That's right.
All right. Well, Jeff, you want to play us out real quick?
Yeah.
And definitely want to thank our sponsors again, Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Guitar Hummer. Check them out, guitarhummer.com. And, Jeff, what are you going to play before you take us out?
I'm just going to hit some power chords with the hoof.
The hoof and Ghost Echo. Here we go. Thanks a lot, Jamie.
Thank you.